willkommen, liebe Hörerinnen und liebe Hörer. Ich begrüße euch recht herzlich zu einer neuen Folge von Metal Minds, The Pit Unplugged, dem Metal.de Podcast. Mein Name ist Diana Heinbucher und ich führe euch natürlich durch den Pit. Genau. Und heute habe ich dabei Stick to Your Guns, den Jesse und den Josh. Beide haben sich auf dem Impericon Festival dieses Jahr in Leipzig Zeit für mich genommen und mit mir über ihre aktuelle Platte gesprochen. Genau. Die Platte ist jetzt schon fast 10 Monate alt und der ein oder andere mag sich nun fragen, wie relevant ist eigentlich eine Platte, die schon 10 Monate draußen ist? Ja. Und da kommen wir so ein bisschen zu dem Punkt, dass das ein kleiner Fan-Moment auch für mich war. Also ich höre schon sehr lange Stick to Your Guns, das ist Hardcore, ganz klar. Und die Keep Planting Flowers-Platte hat mich ganz schön ergriffen, muss ich sagen. Also die hat mich auf einer emotionalen Ebene abgeholt und ich weiß nicht, wie oft ich die dieses Jahr tatsächlich wirklich vom ersten bis zum letzten Track durchgehört habe. Und daher ist das sozusagen für mich schon sehr relevant, jetzt nochmal auf die Platte zu schauen. Genau, also Keep Planting Flowers, diese Platte ist im Januar 2025 rausgekommen, also wirklich schon ein Stück alt. Und wir wissen aber ja, dass Stick to Your Guns vor ein paar Tagen mit Paleface Swiss gemeinsam einen neuen Song herausgebracht haben, nämlich Instrument of War. Und auch diesen Song lege ich euch ans Herz, weil ich einfach, also wenn ihr den Song anhört und sozusagen auch die verschiedenen Facetten der Stimmen hört, ne, und auch wie der ausinstrumentarisiert ist und wie der auch ausgeglichen ist, beziehungsweise wo sozusagen die volle Last kommt und wo dann wieder seichtere Parts sind, finde ich diesen Song wirklich ziemlich gut. Genau. Aber im Juni, Ende Juni war das, als ich die beiden auf dem Impericon Festival getroffen habe, haben wir nur über Keep Planting Flowers, über die Platte gesprochen. Und da sprechen wir eben darüber, wie es zu der Platte gekommen ist. Jesse und Josh, die erzählen ganz offen darüber, dass sie überlegt hatten, Stick to Your Guns zu beenden, ne, als Projekt. Und wie es dann dazu gekommen ist, dann tatsächlich nochmal eine neue Platte zu machen. Und dann haben wir eben über alles gesprochen, was mit der Keep Planting Flowers Platte zusammenhängt. Ich finde, die haben wirklich ganz viele interessante Sachen erzählt und die möchte ich euch natürlich nicht vorenthalten. Das Interview, das folgende, das ist auf Englisch und ich habe die Anmoderation, die ich da vorbereitet habe, jetzt auch einfach drin gelassen. Ich bin am Anfang von Interviews tatsächlich auch nicht immer cool und gelassen. Ich bin da manchmal auch aufgeregt und erst recht, wenn sich Jesse und Josh beide Zeit für mich nehmen und beide da ganz seriös und mit großen wartenden Blicken auf mich schauen, da ist das tatsächlich kein leichtes, da so kalt in ein Interview zu starten. Deshalb ist die Einleitung tatsächlich die Anmoderation, nennen wir es doch Anmoderation, nennen wir die Dinge beim Namen. Die Anmoderation noch ein bisschen holprig, aber das zeigt ja nur, dass auch ich nur ein Mensch bin und keine Maschine. Genug der einleitenden Worte. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Spaß beim folgenden Podcast. Ja, also los geht's mit meiner nervösen Einleitung. Welcome to a new episode of Metal Minds, The Pit Unplugged. My name is Diana Heinbucher and I'll guide you through this pit today. And of course, I'm joined by a band that has touched me deeply on a personal level. We are diving into the world of hardcore, radically honest, poetically angry and profoundly human. And when I say that, I'm talking about Stick to Your Guns. Earlier this year, they released their new album, Keep Planting Flowers, a record that not only feels like a soundtrack to social upheaval, but also like an intimate look into the soul of a band that has never stopped standing for something. Today, we are talking about music as resistance, about vulnerability, friendship, DIY ethics, and why sometimes it takes more courage to plant flowers than to build barricades. So, I'm happy to be here with you. How are you today?
I'm great. That was so nice. Thank you. Oh, my God. We're good. Yes, we're good.
Yeah, it's always super interesting to listen to people talk about our band, because I think to myself and to Jesse and to the other guys, we're just like, yep, we're just five morons that play some loud music. And then when you hit us with that, I'm like, wow, this is so poetic and beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Go on. I think we still need to introduce you. Yes, a little bit closer.
There we go. Oh, I'm Jesse. I sing for Stick to Your Guns.
And I'm Josh. I play guitar.
We're right now in the middle of the festival season. Where did you play yesterday?
Yesterday we had a day off. Uh-huh. We had a long day of travel because the day before we played Resurrection Fest in Spain. And we played at 1 a.m., which is very late for us. Yeah. And but it was top 10, probably best shows we've ever played in our career. We were very, very overwhelmed with how awesome of a set it was. And we love coming over to Europe for festival season.
Yeah.
It's the best ever.
Okay, and today, the traveling day, what did you do on your traveling day?
We woke up at noon because we played at 1.
Yeah.
And then we got to the hotel around 3 a.m., fell asleep around, let's say, 4, woke up at noon, took a 2.5-hour bus to the airport, took a 2.5-hour flight to Frankfurt, and then I don't know how long.
We went to Vapiano.
One of the last Vapiano that still exists.
Yeah, and then we did the 6-hour, 7-hour drive, whatever it was, to here. All I know is I went to sleep in Frankfurt and I woke up here. That's all I know.
Okay.
Yeah, we had the easy part.
Okay. And during the festivals, do you sneak into the crowd by yourself and join the pit? Or what do you do there?
haven't joined the pit only because we want to reduce the risk of injury because we're so old, our bones are brittle. But but we do. There's some bands that we've watched from the crowd the other day. Actually, at Resurrection Festival, we watched Judas Priest. But a festival before that, Hellfest, watched some of Terror from the crowd and then was like, this crowd's way too wild. I'm going to go on stage and watch Terror from the stage. But I think we try to kind of go back and forth, you know?
Especially when there's friends, you know what I mean? Like, that's the best part of the... To me, that's one of the best parts of the festival, is, like, seeing who you're going to run into on any given day and being able to see, like, which friends' bands you're going to be able to watch and stuff like that. Because when you're always on tour, it's hard to sometimes... actually, it's not always true. I feel like maybe we see our touring friends sometimes more than I see, like, friends back at home.
Yeah.
Oh, there's for sure people that I see, like, it's so interesting that even if we haven't toured with the band for 3 years, I've spent more time with them somehow than I have with my friends at home, because we're just always on tour.
Yeah, sure. But I think it's quite hard to be so many times on tour. Yeah,
definitely.
And then we have one tour family and yeah, one exactly. family at home.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Keep Planting Flowers has been out for almost half a year now. I know it might feel like old news to someone, but I'd really love to talk about it again. For me, it's a manifest against giving up and easily one of the most essential records of 2025. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's really, I like it really, really. Okay, many of the songs feel like letters to your past selves, the wounded parts of who you are. The kind of songwriting, digging into the lyrics like that, must be incredibly hard, I think. And also in the context of writing the instrumentals. So, because also writing the instrumentals, emotions and visions play a huge role. So how did you approach to this record, both lyrically and also musically?
We'll start with the music.
Yeah, we started with the music, and you know, we've talked about this a couple of times before, that we had no intentions in creating a new record. It was something that we didn't really talk about. We were talking about wrapping up the band. We were like, oh, maybe it's time for us just to quit. We'll do some final tours and be done. And during that time, we're doing some tours, and a lot of times at soundcheck, Chris or myself will just kind of write a riff on guitar while we're just fucking around, you know, getting ready for soundcheck. And then we'll be like, oh, that's cool. You know, film that on your phone so you don't forget that or whatever. And then after a tour, we had a couple of cool riffs. Chris and I got together and we wrote Permanent Dark and Invisible Rain. And then sent it to Jesse. And Jesse's like, oh, I love this. And then he instantly had, you know, like these rad lyrics and melodies to everything. And then all of a sudden, we just didn't stop writing. And then, I mean, it was probably the quickest we've ever written a record. I think we wrote it in three sessions, and it was kind of like a blink of the eye. All of a sudden, we're just in the studio recording a full length, and but it was really cool because I think that it was really important for us to get to a point where we completely had let go of the band to where we had thought maybe we should end this and wrap it up. Because what that did was it relieved a lot of pressures that I don't think we really knew existed. When you're a band that is as old as us or has been around as long as us, or a band that really, it's your career, right? And so there's a lot of pressure that you don't ever anticipate being created whenever you start a band. When you start a band, you're like, I just want to play music with my friends and go on the road and just have a good time. And then all of a sudden, these business decisions have to start being created, and all these extra hands start coming in and manipulating things. So I think that when we reached the point where we were like, you know what, maybe let's end this, all of those other things stopped being important to us. So then when we wrote music, it was back to the idea of just writing some music with your friends for you and for your friends and just to have fun. And I think the same thing kind of happened lyrically.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it always normally starts with the music. I need something, like, I'll jot down ideas or lines or whatever here and there, but I'm not the type of person to like, there's like people who are true like lyricists or poets or whatever, and they can just like write, these are, you know, here's a poem. I don't really work like that. I need to like construct my vision to the out, like within the parameters of a song. I kind of like when there's boundaries and like borders to work within. I feel like I can get my most creative like that. Whereas if someone's just like, write lyrics to a song right now with nothing, I get overwhelmed by too much creative freedom, let's call it. And I know there's some people who work better maybe like that. I'm not one of those people. I need some guidelines and boundaries. And so when they started writing the music, that really helped a lot of things that I feel like I didn't even know I wanted to say or had to say, just kind of the tap kind of just opened, you know what I mean? And so like Josh said, it was fairly easy. I mean, fairly easy. Like, anyone in Sick to Your Guns is going to tell you I'm a fairly easily distracted person. So there was a point with the lyrics where, like, especially if I can see the finish line on a record, if I know I'm getting close to the end, I kind of start, all right, so it's just right over there. I'll walk the rest of the way. So Josh was like, no, we're going to go to a hotel in Temecula, which is like 2 hours or 3 hours away from where we live. And I'm going to make sure you finish this fucking thing. And so, you know, it took all of us, but as far as the lyrical process, yeah, I feel like I had so much to work with and to work from that it was just like, it was more so just about organizing my thoughts than it was coming up with ideas for songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything was organic. You know, I think all the way from the music to the lyrics to even the artwork, everything about this record was so organic, and so everything just flowed and came out so easily. There's been other records in the past where we've gotten six or seven different variations of artwork, and we're like, and this one, that was the first thing that happened. And then we just tweaked a little bit of the colors. That's it. You know, so everything just flowed so well, and it felt so seamless. And it's funny because this is Adam, our drummer's first record with the band. He joined the band in 2023. And I have to constantly be like, it wasn't always like this. It wasn't this easy. It wasn't this easy. And I think even him coming into the band was a breath of fresh air. You know, it's a new personality. He's very excited to be on the road with us and writing music with us. And that was also a lot of fun to have him as part of the, you know, the writing process. It's just been super seamless and easy. And we keep joking around where we're like, all right, so when the record comes out, now what'll happen is no one will like it, you know, or people are going to really like, be like, ugh, roll their eyes at it. But that the opposite happened. I think that we ended up writing a fan favorite, you know, for people that truly love Stick to Your Guns. I think that this record is kind of like a front runner for their favorite album, which means so much to us to, you know, to be a band for 20 plus years and to put out a record and kids come up and say, Keep Planting Flowers is my favorite album you guys have done. So that means a lot. It's really insane. It's wild.
Yeah. It's totally interesting what you said, because I'm doing research about creativity and team creativity. And you said it. You were in the flow, and all the things they annoying you, you put by side, and only the good things were there. And so you came in this flow, and it's so beautiful to hear how you work, and it's great good. But you said you have three sessions. It's normal that you're writing in studio, or it's how do you do it?
So we actually are pretty spread out. Andrew, our bass player, lives in Norway. He moved there during the pandemic. Chris, our guitar player, lives in Windsor, Ontario in Canada, which is right across the border from Detroit. And then me, Jesse, and Adam all live in the Los Angeles area. Chris has a little home studio, and Chris also has a kid. So it's hard for us to be like, hey, come out to Los Angeles. So typically what we do is we write at Chris's house. Yeah. So fly out to Chris's house, spend 2 or 3 days in his basement, and then leave and come back a month later. And so that's how Keep Planting Flowers was done. And then we did, I don't think we've ever done true pre-production. I think this is the first time that we had like, we took a couple of weeks. We did the record with this guy, Bo Burchell. He plays guitar in the band Seosin.
Yeah.
And so we went to his studio, which is in Southern California, and we spent a couple of weeks with him doing pre-production, just trying different things out to the songs that we already had, and also deciding what songs were going to go on the record. Because I think 10 are on the record, and I think that we had like 15 full songs and then like 3 other half songs. So we spent some time in the studio actually trying to work on those other songs, but then they just ultimately kind of fell apart, or we put them back in the garden so they can. And you know, so that's typically, we wrote this record the same way that we typically write, but this time it was just so much easier.
Yeah.
You know? Less pressure.
Yeah. Great. Also, the thing that you have 3 or 4 days together, you are not in your normal day. The routines are not there, so you can focus on what you are doing. It's great. It's a success factor for creativity in by side. Yeah, yeah. Great. So back to my questions. the title "Keep Planting Flowers" is so rich with meaning. The flowers is a symbol for fragility, but also for growth. And when did the title come up to you?
So the title of the song was always that. That's what it was always going to be. I think I wanted to call the album like "More Than a Witness." But I think we all also agreed that felt too obvious. You know what I mean? It kind of sounds like a hardcore album. It's, you know what I mean? It was a pretty obvious thing to do. And so then Josh had suggested to do Keep Planting Flowers as the album, which we all like, it made us uncomfortable at first, 'cause we were like, that's kind of a crazy thing to call an album. You know what I mean? Especially one like this.
Yeah.
Where I felt like Keep Planting Flowers was the song that was like the weird song from the rest of the album. You know what I mean? So it felt weird to like highlight that song, because it was to me the one that didn't sound really like the rest of them.
Yeah.
But it was probably the best decision that we could have made. So it was it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Where'd that title come from?
So there's a song by, do you know the artist Rodriguez?
Yes.
So there's like that documentary called Searching for Sugarman, and it was just about this working class guy named Rodriguez, who is this amazing singer-songwriter who put out these albums.
From Detroit.
Yes, from Detroit. And anyway, I after watching this documentary, I had no idea about him. And after watching this documentary, I fell in love with this guy. And his story was a bummer. I mean, he somewhat gets vindication towards the end, but it also just kind of talks about the overall corruption of the music industry and things like this. But he, who he is and what he went through and like how he never lost being an artist and all of it, was incredibly inspiring to me. And he has this line in one of these songs that says, "How many times can you wake up in this comic book and keep planting flowers?" And I kind of like the idea of that song of like, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if he says keep planting flowers exactly, but I think he says something like this.
Yeah.
But just this idea of like asking yourself, like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, this is like this society, like the fact that he's calling this society a comic book, like, you know what I mean? The things that we've decided are valuable and the things that just crush us and break us. And, you know, like, it's almost just like to him, it's not even real. It's a fantasy. All this shit is a fantasy. And he's asking himself, how many times can I keep waking up and keep, you know, trying to do something, keep trying to add something beautiful. So I really resonate with that. I kind of wanted to write a song that was like, yeah, you gotta keep doing that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. No matter how bad it gets, you gotta keep doing that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. The title, also the song, it's for me, the title, it's, there's so many bad things in the world and so many people are treated bad and they do the same thing with other people. And to keep saying me, keep planting flowers, be nice.
Right.
It's a great good reminder to be it. It's so good.
Well, and the fact that I could borrow this from or be inspired from this artist who doesn't know who I am. I don't even, you know, I don't even know when he died, but I take something from this great person and I make something with it.
Yeah.
And then now I hand it to somebody else and they make something with it. And it's like that to me, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, I don't know. I think that there's this kind of this crazy notion that artists can get into that they think that like they made something out of thin air, right? Like, oh, I'm an artist. I had a vision in my mind. A gift from God. It came from nowhere, from nothing. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's other people and it's society and it's the things we witness and it's the things that we see and it's the interactions, engagements that we have from other people specifically that give us everything that we then interpret and turn into something else and pass on to somebody else. So, there's like this idea of also kind of shedding away the individuality of it all, not in this way of like, of turning yourself into anyone else, be who you are, but also like, let's realize that we're all a part of this thing together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would like to say it's bullshit that creativity came from nothing.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Because everything around us, made something with us.
Right.
And we are in the environment of someone else and we do something with him. It's always a dependency between the things.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but let's talk about this song, the title track, the Keep Planting Flowers, what you said. In particular, the song feels very incredible, fragile, deeply emotional, and it's with its raw instrumentation and with the vocals that are also so rough and so unshaped.
Sure.
And this makes something. So back to the line. What was it like for you to work with the song, especially with the thing that masculinity are still there in the hardcore scene? Do you know what I mean?
No, sure.
Because the song is, you see there's someone is hurt.
Right.
And you're open it for all people and there's no safety for you.
Right.
So this is the picture I see when I think about the song.
Sure.
So how was it to work with this song and to be so open with your own
vulnerability?
Yeah. Everyone knows now I have troubles to speak this word.
You're doing great.
Okay. But how was it to do it?
So the musically, this was the only thing really to the album that I added, like musically, like that guitar at the beginning, that progression. That's the only thing I did. And then I gave it to Josh and Chris, and then they did all the other stuff. So like I knew I wanted it to be an acoustic guitar and this like softer kind of sound or whatever, but I definitely went through many like asking myself how I wanted to engage with it, right? Because it, when you immediately hear the guitar and you know a band like Sick to Your Guns sings, you would probably assume that I'm going to come in with some soft vocal or some kind of singing melody or whatever, which I won't lie, I probably at one point thought, oh, maybe I'll try that or something. But I think the screaming over it kind of like really, you know, makes the, it builds that tension that we want, right? The screaming over the softness is like the, it's almost like the two things kind of battling each other and trying to win. And that process is like giving birth to this thing, you know what I mean? And so, I loved it. And like talking about the song and lyrically, like going, engaging with it, it was a really cool process. Cause it's, even though it sounds like Sick to Your Guns, it doesn't really sound like something that we've necessarily done before, you know what I mean? So it was cool.
Whenever we were in the studio, Jesse like hummed out the vocal pattern, and when he was doing it, I naturally assumed, like he said, that he was going to be like singing it. And then when he opened up and did the first, and he actually, what he said to everybody in the room was, because a lot of times we'll be like, okay, we're going to work on this first verse. And then it's kind of, the focus is on the verse. Now we'll work on the chorus, right? He was like, hey, I'm going to go all the way through the entire song. And him doing that when he first started, I think for me, just as a listener, because also it should be noted that we never have our songs demoed out with vocals. So the first time that we ever hear the vocals to the songs are when we're actually recording the vocals, which is kind of wild,
yeah.
You know? And it's the first time he's heard it with vocals, the first time I've heard it with vocals, the first time the producer's heard it with vocals. So when but I really do like that, because I think that it allows a true raw reaction to something. And when he started doing the vocals to Keep Planting Flowers, I remember like it almost like broke me, because I assumed he was going to sing it, but the screaming sounded so broken and so vulnerable. And that, with the words and the sound of the song, I was just like, oh man, like chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Like this is really good. And then I think that, you know, we took it a step further with the music video. I think visually really, really complemented the brokenness of the song, yeah, and the vulnerability and the beauty of it as well. So I think like that became instantly one of my favorite songs that we ever made. And I think it really meant a lot to us that fans connected to it as well. But I love that song, and I love that. And I remember even in the studio, we were like, should you sing on it? And then Jesse was just like, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to sing on this at all. And then we're like, yeah, you're right. You're totally right.
Yeah. The first time I heard the song, I started crying. It was, it not happened sometimes, but when it happens, the music touched me that deep. It was great.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah. I think that whenever you, it's like when you hear things and it's what you want to say, but there are no words.
Yeah.
So this sound is those words, you know. And I think it has that kind of. I want to really kill that one, buddy.
Yeah. Good job.
Good job.
Okay. I'd say it's not just your music, but also the themes you explore that connect people to your work. You give people the feeling that they are not alone. Have there been moments where you needed the same feeling for yourself, and maybe you got it back from your community?
Definitely. I mean, I think a lot of the times when I'm writing those themes, it's like the things that I need to hear. You know what I mean? Like I'm saying what I need to be said to me. And so that's like that's what's nice about it. You know what I mean? And the fact that other people connect, like, oh yeah, I need to hear that as well. And so that's definitely a reason for that. You know what I mean? Because it's easy to feel like that, even when you're on tour with everybody or whatever, and you're, you know, because it's very rare that you get like true alone time when you're on tour. You know what I mean? And then we get home and we all have families, so it's like you don't really get alone time at home either. And so it's like you're constantly surrounded by people, which can be good, and you kind of, you know, you want some alone time, but there's this different kind of like being alone and being lonely.
Yeah,
you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
those are two different things. Yeah. So I know all of us really love our alone time and being alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes touring can get lonely, or sometimes, I mean, I can get lonely anywhere, honestly. But like, yeah, that's what I think that's about the whole, like, you're not alone themes that we tend to have had over the last 20 years is like kind of just coping and dealing with that. The overall kind of depressive things of life that can happen to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you're, you know, growing up like us and you start losing people and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, the thing with the loneliness, they occur if we are stuck or if we are not able to talk about the things they are up with us.
Right.
And I think sometimes also during touring or being such successful like you as a band will do something with you, because the people don't, or your close friends don't understand what you are going through.
True.
And so the loneliness thing will happen.
No, totally. Yeah. Totally. I mean, it's also like even like coming home, and I've always dealt with this my whole life, and it goes in phases, but it's like even my friends at home, they don't know when I'm home or when I'm gone.
Yeah.
Right. So you never get invited. You start never getting invited to things. They don't know if you're home or if you're not home.
Yeah.
And that, you know what I mean? So then it's like things like that. It's like it can really, so you have to then make an even further effort.
Yeah.
For your, like, you have to be the ones that have to go a little bit further with your friends at home. And it's not even their fault, right? Like, you can't expect everyone to, like, keep track of your schedule and things like this. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's just, like, this is one of the unfortunate side effects of, like, touring so much and things like that. Yeah. But, yeah, so. Yeah.
But it's also the personal things, no? Not only touring.
Of course.
Like things happen, you broke with your family, or you lost a friend, or something like this. And hardcore always being political, but you seem to be to go beyond just calling things out. You offer an alternative. At least that's how it feels to me. But there's always that balance to keep. How do you avoid sounding preachy?
Good question. Good question. I mean, I think it's all subjective. I think that there's some people who probably think we can be preachy, and then there's some people who probably want to hear what's being said. You know what I mean? You'll never be able to like kind of please everybody.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I can do, and it's kind of always the thing I'm always asking myself, and it's the thing that my, you know, I get it from my mom growing up, is like trying your best, especially as if you're going to be an artist, to always be telling the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know sometimes the truth can be subjective, hopefully not too subjective, but like, you know, I want to speak about the realities that I face and that the people I love face and that the people around me are facing. And I know sometimes that those realities might not match up with the realities of other people across the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they can look at what we're looking at, and, you know what I mean? My perspective might not make any sense to them at all, but I think ultimately when I come to the table with what I bring to this band, I just want to make sure that it's as truthful as it can possibly be, whether that be truthful in speaking the truth about the ills of society, or even just speaking the truth about myself or who I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As artists, of course, you want to reach as many people as possible. But today, many bands find themselves torn between creative freedom and financial pressure. How do you navigate navigate the tension to point it out, to be creatively free and to have success?
Really quick, I'll just say, and then I'm sure Josh has also has a good answer for this. Oh, maybe not. Okay. just really quick, just so I don't forget. I think that's a, first of all, I'd like to say that I appreciate that you recognize this, because you do have a lot of bands who want to stay true to what they're doing, and they feel like they can't because there's a lot on the line now that so many of our bands are touring full time and things like this. So I appreciate that that's being seen by people, those kinds of pressures. But I think for me, what has helped is not trying to necessarily reach as many people as possible. Not that I'm against that. I just don't think that's the goal. Yeah. For me personally, like, I want to connect with the people that we already have, or connect with the people who just are cool with what we're doing. And I understand it's like, you know, people say like hardcore is for everyone, but it's not for everyone. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, the same kind of mentality. It's like, you're open to join our club, but like, if you're like upset or offended by what we're doing, like, we're not going to kiss your boo-boos about it. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it is what it is. And like, we're just doing what we're doing. And so it's, I think the letting go of the trying to reach as many people as possible and just playing to the people that like want to engage with us has kind of almost helped the financial side of it. You know what I mean?
That's actually what I was going to say. So it was a good answer. I loved listening to it. But yeah, it's also, I think, weird because we're now, this is the first time that I'm aware of that bands that sound like us can reach quote unquote everybody. This is the first time that you're, this is the, I never in my life have I ever gone into a store and heard, you know, playing in the speakers. But now you can go into a gym, yeah, and you'll hear that, or you'll go to a mall and you might hear something being played on the radio that has a breakdown and screaming. Mm-hmm. And it's very confusing for me. But yeah, I think exactly what he said. But stick to your guns. We don't entertain the idea that our goal is to try to reach as many people as possible. Our goal is to continue to write music that is true to us, to say the things that, just like how Jesse said, that we find truth in, that we feel like is our truth, and also for us to be able to express ourselves and to play for the people that enjoy that. And if you don't like it, we really don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, if you,
it's
like
the
it,
the best thing you can do.
Yeah. If you like it, hell yeah. Thank you so much. Like, for everybody that has supported this band over the years, we have extreme gratitude towards, because those people have been able to, let us create a pathway to be able to continue to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Without a touring band, only survives by people coming to the shows, buying the merch. So when that stops, the touring band dies. It's that simple. So everyone who's come to our shows and bought a t-shirt or bought a sticker or whatever it is, that means the world to us. But that does not mean that those people get to tell us what we do or what we don't do is right or wrong. Mm-hmm. At that point, it's, we go, okay, well, the door's there, because we're fine to die. That's nothing, that we're not scared of that at all. Yeah. You know, we're not gonna conform or change. And of course, in today's environment, regardless of your band or not, everybody has to walk a little bit on eggshells, because the mob online can come after you and get you fired from your job and ruin your life. So I think that's something that's universal that everybody has to deal with. And I think that there's a lot of people that's really good, because there's some people that need to get their hand out of the cookie jar, but you know, that's not everyone, but everyone is kind of, so there's a, you know, there's, we can't go on stage and say exactly what we want to say sometimes. You know, we're aware of that, but we're not a band that's going to close down and not speak up about, you know, that we feel that there's a genocide happening in Gaza. We're not going to not say that because people don't like it. You know, yeah. But we're aware that if we go to a certain place and we say it from stage, we might get arrested. And then if we get arrested, then that means that the crew has to go home, and then they can't pay their bills. And then we owe a bunch of money to the bus company, and then this and that and blah, 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 blah. So you figure out when and how you can say that, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
No one gets to be 100% themselves all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's quite good because to be not yourself broke you earlier or later.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay. But it's a good thing for the next question because Hardcore has long been known for his DIY spirit. You dropped it at the beginning. How much of that still lives in your current structure, especially considering how long you've been around and how much success you've had?
It's more involved in our structure than it probably ever has been, for sure. Everything is in-house. Like, we just try to keep everything as close to the chest as possible. And Josh is basically our manager, half of our manager. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, we just, we spent too long trusting all these other kinds of people. And, you know, I understand that some bands just want to hire people to just do their business and that's it. But it's like, we want to work with people that are our people. You know what I mean? Like the guy who did our music video, that's our music videos. That's a guy I've known since high school. Keep Planning Flowers, the actress in that, that's Josh's wife. Yeah. The Randy, who was the main character of the first video, Severed Forever video, that's one of Josh's very, very, very good friends. Like, we just want to work with our people. Yeah. We're done trusting outsiders. You know what I mean? At least when it comes to our business and our family, because it's like, no matter how much a person can sit there and tell you they're going to care about your thing more than you, that's bullshit. They won't. Yeah. They won't. Yeah. You know, so it's like you just got to have your own people around that see your vision and help create and build that vision. You know what I mean? And help give you the thing that you use to make this album. So, yeah, that's my.
And obviously, everyone's different, but I think that we are a group of people that, for instance, whenever we played Resurrection Fest a couple of nights ago, and I'm hoping it's going to be the same tonight when we play Empiricon Fest, we're a group of people that when there's any moment of like reward, we're like, damn, we did it. Like, we earned this. Yeah. We earned this reaction from the crowd. All the blood, sweat, tears that we put in, you know, all the headache of the logistics or whatever, or the money that we lost and this and that, and blah, 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 blah. We're like, hell yeah, it paid off. Because at the end of the day for us, it's like getting on the stage, being able to just play a kick-ass set that we're, and I think that in those types of shows, it's like where we really connect with the music, that it energy's created inside of the room. It's not just some people watching some other people play some instruments and some music happening. It's everything is connected and this energy happens. And I think in those moments for us, that's where we're like, hell yeah, no one else did this but us. And of course, there is a whole other team. There are, you know, like, Sharptone has been an amazing label so far. The people that Nuclear Blast, like that doesn't mean that we feel like we did everything, you know. But I think that it's we're involved in every aspect of our band.
But even the owner of Sharptone Records, Sean Keith, I've known for decades. Our booking agent, Matt Anderson, he was the very first tour manager Stick to Your Guns ever had, probably over about 20 years ago. Our manager, Ryan Nelson, we call him Dog. He was a security guard at Chain Reaction. I grew up going to this venue, and he was one of the security guards. Now he manages our band. Nanook, our booking agent in Europe. You know what I mean? Like, even the quote unquote suits. You know what I mean? Yeah. The people who like handle the business shit back at home who aren't on tour. These are still people that we've. You know what I mean? Like, these are our day one people. So it's like, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's important because it's a process. And so many bands told me that they go through this process and came to the point that they never want to work with people again. They don't stick to them.
Right.
But sometimes I think everyone needs to go this process because during this you learn something.
Sure.
It's quite hard to say. Sometimes I think about how could be it better for the bands.
Definitely.
I have no solution.
Well, I mean, I think being a band and trying to navigate the financial aspect of it, like, you trust people, especially if, like, you know, I don't know. You got to take leaps. I don't really. I try not to blame any, you know, band for decisions they make. We've all made bad decisions before that have like screwed us over. It's kind of the nature of this whole thing. But it's like, to me, the best way to do it is like just sticking with the people you trust, even if those people aren't a part of the biggest agency or the biggest record label or the biggest this or the biggest that, or even if those people aren't doing it the way that everybody else is doing it. It's like the question should just be like, do you trust them? And if you do, then
do you trust them? And then are they showing that they care?
Right. Yeah.
And that's ultimately why you trust them.
Because they're working hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Working hard is a good word for the next question. How do you trust AI in music production?
The thing is with AI is like, I think I don't understand it, so I can't really give this judgment of it if it's this inherent good or inherent bad. I don't necessarily think anything is inherently good or inherently bad or whatever, but like I know that it could be used to do a lot of good. Do I believe that that is what will happen? I think it's unlikely unless there is like, you know, people who are working with AI and people who, you know, everyday working people have a say in how it operates and how it works, but this is not the society that we have, so it's hard to say, but mm-hmm. As of right now, I don't like it and it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat where I don't think that it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's just, again, about how you use something, right? I actually saw today an article. I didn't read, I just saw the headline, but it said that the creator of ChatGPT says he's surprised how many people trust ChatGPT. Yeah. But then I also went, well, it's the same thing with Google. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with any mass information. Before that, it was the same thing with a newspaper. Before that, it was books. Before, you know, it's television, it's news, it's whatever you hear. So I think that really what that says to me is that people want to trust. They just want to trust in something, and everyone kind of goes, well, that's the new thing, I'll just trust that. Do I think that ChatGPT and AI is going to replace stick to your guns? No. Also, do I care? Not really either. And in a weird way, I'm like, the music industry has already seen other things take over that I'm like, I'm not focused on ChatGPT. Let's focus on like Spotify. Let's focus on how if you're a band that, you know, a quote unquote working class band that has a good fan base and has 15 million streams, how each band member maybe makes $150 from that. Like, I'm more focused on that because you know what's not doing that to me is ChatGPT. You know, there's other human beings in our industry that are fucking over bands left and right. The mm-hmm. fact that it's like, you know, you go and play shows and the place takes 25% of your merchandise,
yes,
and then they tax you 20%. You know, that makes me way more angry than the idea that an AI might write a riff. You know, like, hey, look at this breakdown the AI wrote. Yeah, cool. I don't care. You know? So, yeah, but who knows? I mean, I'm also Terminator 2 is in my top 5 movies. So I think Skynet's going to happen anyway. We're all going to die. The robots are going to kill us.
Okay. This would be a good last word. Is there something you've always wanted to say or share, but no one ever asked you the right question?
Honestly, no, not really. Yeah.
Shockingly, like, we just don't really want to share. I was talking to my wife about this the other day where I'm like, you know what's funny is that I was like, I'm known as like a storyteller. I'm always like, hey, God, did you tell me to say this thing? But what's funny is like, I only really want to tell that to the people that I'm like actually friends with. And then everybody else, I'm like, yeah, man, what's this thing happened? You know? But yeah, no. No. We have nothing we want to share.
Okay. So then, what are you grateful for right here, right now?
Just honestly, just being here. You know what I mean? I think that like Josh said, like the fact that we can play one of the best shows we've ever played in our careers this late into it. You know what I mean? Mm. You know, there's been so many bands that have come and gone in the time that Stick to Your Guns has been a band. So it's like we can still come literally halfway across the world and play one of our best shows on an album that people are calling, you know, one of our best ones after all this time, it's like, I don't know if I want anything other than that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because this morning I was actually, when I got off the bus and I came back here, and I was just sitting here and I was thinking about it, that for whatever reason, there's just a different feeling nowadays whenever we tour. And we've always loved to tour. But I know, like, even on this tour, like, our air conditioner is broken on the bus. It's hot as hell, all these things. But we're still just, like, laughing and smiling about everything. And everybody still wakes up and is like, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? I want to hang out with you. What do you want to hang out with me? And so I'm grateful to still be, like, surrounded by people that I love, and getting to travel around and play music with them.
Okay, thank you.
Ja, ihr Lieben, das war das Gespräch mit Jesse und Josh von Stick to Your Guns. Wir haben über die Entstehung von Keep Planting Flowers gesprochen, über den Mut, in einer lauten Welt auch leise Töne anzuschlagen. Also, ne, gerade was auch die Maskulinität von Hardcore betrifft. Und dann haben wir da so viel Fragilität in dieser Platte drin. Und das finde ich wirklich. Also für mich ist einfach Keep Planting Flowers von Stick to Your Guns die beste Platte, die Stick to Your Guns je gemacht haben. Und für mich ist Keep Planting Flowers auch definitiv eine der besten Platten, die 2025 rausgebracht hat. Und ja, ich glaube, die Platte hat mir in der ein oder anderen Situation auch den Tag gerettet, mich durch tiefe Untiefen getragen, und genau das soll ja Musik machen. Ne? Wir müssen damit irgendwo emotional relaten, ob da nun in negativen oder positiven Sinne Sachen mit abgedeckt werden. Das liegt an uns. Und bei mir hat es mit der Platte sehr gut funktioniert. Und wirklich, also ich finde das wirklich auch herausragend, was die Jungs da gemacht haben. Besonders unter dem Deckmantel von Hardcore, da so viel Verletzlichkeit reinzulegen, so viel Verletzlichkeit zu transportieren und in diesem Ganzen einfach auch so viel Raum zu geben. Ne? Also, ich denke, ihr wisst, wie ich das meine. So, genau, um was ging es noch? Also, ich würde nochmal kurz zusammenfassen. Die haben natürlich auch uns erklärt, was im Kontrast zur Marktlogik, zur Musikmarktlogik Zusammenhalt bedeutet. Eigentlich haben sie uns auch weiter mit der Erkenntnis gefüttert, könnte man sagen, dass eben Hardcore nicht nur Widerstand bedeutet, sondern eben in diesem Widerstand auch Hoffnung und Verletzlichkeit zugelassen werden darf und dass das was ganz Wichtiges ist. Ne? Okay, genug der Worte für heute. Ich danke euch fürs Zuhören. Mein Name war, ist und wird es immer sein, Diana Hainbucher. Ich habe euch durch diesen Pit geführt und vergesst nicht, weiter Blumen zu pflanzen, auch wenn das hochpoetisch ist in diesem Kontext. Passt auf euch auf.